in the fabled land of Northern California. Nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, well, it's been a little while since we all talked to you.
Yeah.
Or we all talked to each other and then got you to listen to it, whatever. And that's because it was the holiday season, and obviously we've talked about the various things that have happened with Mike's case, with his wife's dad passing, and in my case with my best friend passing.
Yeah,
that caused a little bit of us taking some time off, but then the holidays do, as a general rule, anyway, and that's why we took I think it was a couple weeks we took off. It's because holidays were coming up, we had obligations, family yeah. things. We would have been recording what, the day after Christmas, and I know you personally had very specific family things that had to happen that day, as far as seeing different family members, exchanging. So if you have multiple family members to worry about.
When Christmas happens, that's the thing about Christmas, is when it happens on a weekend, like when one of those days happens on a weekend, the other day is used to make up seeing other family that you won't see. You know what I mean?
And see, I'm the different in that if my family doesn't show up at my house for any of those things, I don't go and see them. That's just me.
I understand that. Now we stayed home this year too, so it wasn't like. Yeah, we happen to stay home this year, but they're at least, you know, making phone calls, seeing how people are doing. Like if it's not going out and physically seeing them, it's like video chats and phone calls and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's a catch up weekend, man. You got to be able to take the time. You know, you got to be able to concentrate.
For the most part, I know that my wife was basically asleep the majority of that Sunday, the day after. Mm-hmm. Christmas, mainly because there was no football game, so she didn't have to worry about me watching my football game, because the team played on the Thursday night before Christmas and lost, but also because we have to wait due to our specific situation. We have to wait till last minute to get all the presents wrapped and put out for stuff, and needless to say, we were up very, very late on Christmas Eve, and then up very, very early on Christmas Day. That's a me thing. My favorite memories from childhood of Christmas Day. My mother and I were always the first people awake. Period. We were up at like 6 a.m. Nobody else would get up that early. My sisters wouldn't. When my brothers were with us for Christmas, they wouldn't. I used to have to, the younger of my two older brothers, I used to actually to beat up to wake him up on Christmas morning, because he was in that teenage sleep cycle where he wanted to sleep till like noon, and there was no way in hell. My mother would at least make me wait till, I think either 7 or 8, she'd make me wait till to wake him up, but I would go and try to wake him. He was very, very hard person to wake up at that point in time. And so he wouldn't wake up. And then I'd just hop on top of him and start smacking him around. And then he'd finally wake up, smack me a couple times. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's time to open presents. I want to sleep more. It's not that important. Like, yes, it is. Damn it. Get up. I'm not allowed to open till you get up and open.
Oh, dude.
That may have only happened once, but it's so ingrained in my memory.
Oh, yeah.
That's one time. That's like one of my favorite things. But
that's one of those permanent experiences, you know?
Yes. I don't know if you will ever remember that moment or not, but it meant a lot to me.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was always my family was always the one that got up before the sun got up, like way before the sun was up. Oh yeah, yeah. We were all getting up before the sun was up, even when I was in high school. Even when it was because I had I was the teenager that wanted to sleep, but I had two younger siblings. Like I wasn't. Nah, dude. If my brother and sister weren't waking me up, my parents were waking me up. Hey, we got presents open, man. Come on, get up. But at the same time, it's happening. Like if it's 6:30 in the morning on Christmas Day, and I wasn't up, I'm getting up. You know, so
no, see, yeah, see, no, I was six, at least as early as 6 a.m. My mother was always up, because for my mother, she was just so excited about giving gifts to people. She loved doing that. Like I've said before to you, I think I even said here on the podcast, Christmas was her time of year. That was the time where she really shined. The rest of the year, she was kind of a pain in the ass. Okay, she was a pain in the ass, kind of. But Christmas time was her moment of shining. And we would sit at 6 o'clock in the morning, her and I, with pieces of homemade pumpkin bread, just sitting in front of the tree, waiting for everybody else's stupid ass to get up and not understanding why everybody else wasn't as excited as we were about Christmas. And I didn't necessarily have that. I was a jaded adult for many years. Even after having children, I was a bit of a jaded adult. Like, okay, I'll just do what I have to for Christmas. As I've gotten a better understanding of myself and let myself be even more free with the things that I feel, Christmas has just become more and more something that that I absolutely love, to the point where my wife decided that the moment had finally come. Because we have the Christmas tradition of everybody getting new ornaments every year.
Mm-hmm.
My wife finally came up with the moment that we need a second tree.
What?
Yes, because our tree has too many ornaments on it. You got to imagine, though, we have like 6 people in the household on a regular basis. So that's 6 new ornaments on the tree every year for the last 8 years. Do the math.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty
good. That's a lot of damn ornaments.
Yeah. I got a question that
yes,
aside.
I have an answer.
Okay, so I'm assuming the first tree goes in the living room, right?
Yes.
Where's the second tree going to go? The garage?
Kitchen? We do live in. Okay, this is I don't want to say this because I feel like I'm humble bragging, but we do have one of those houses that has like a family room and a living room.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, the family
room. Say no more. I get it.
The family room mainly consists of, because it's one of those in those newer developments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The family room mainly consists of a pool table that is not utilized as a pool table. It's mainly used as a catch-all for groceries when we bring groceries in and as a place where the wife puts down her mats to do her cutting for her sewing stuff. So that's in the center of the room is the pool table. Underneath the pool table is the litter boxes and the food for the cats, because they have to be in a separate area from where the dog is, because the dog will eat out of the litter box and the cat food, because she's a dumb dog.
That's actually, dogs, dude.
He's an amazing dog, but yeah, that's dogs.
I have a dog. That's actually our dog, Adam West, is just, he's absolutely gross.
He's a poop eater, too?
He's a total poop eater, but he'll eat cat shit and bird shit in the backyard. And we have chickens, so there's a lot of bird shit to eat. So when we take him to the vet, his blood work is fantastic. But we take him to the vet, and he's a Chihuahua Yorkie that's like 7 pounds. They kind of have some words with us every time we take him in.
What's this damn thing eating?
He's like, we don't know. We're only feeding him like 28 grams of food a day. We have to measure in grams because it's more accurate than ounces. So
yes,
we feed him like 28 grams worth of food total a day, aside from one small treat that we give him at the end of the night. And we're just like, okay, there's his diet. And so his blood work comes back absolutely fantastic because we're feeding him the right amount of food and all of that. But then when
he's a little chubby bunny.
Yeah, he's a freaking chonker. Like he's a total, he's the shape of a barrel with a mullet. He's the weirdest looking dog.
He is a funny thing. but anyway, so there's a pool table in the middle of that room, and then the walls of that room lined with, Starting at one wall, there's the wife's sewing desk. There's our secondary fridge, because we have enough people in the house. We need a secondary fridge because one is just not enough. And then it's lined with a turtle tank, a bearded dragon tank, another bearded dragon tank, another beard. See now how you have a room in your house, a bedroom in your house,
yeah,
that is your tank room.
Yeah,
all of our bedrooms are occupied, so we have to use this. We have to use this one room as the tank room.
Yep.
And so, my wife gets to do all of her sewing and all of her craft stuff, surrounded by the lizards that she loves, which is amazing for her. But that's what that room consists of, and mm-hmm. So somewhere in that room is where the second tree will end up going next year. But I did at least secure her a second, and we do artificial trees because I personally absolutely hate real Christmas trees. I understand other people's love for them, and that's perfectly fine. I do not want to have a real tree in my house. I have real trees outside my house. I like them to stay there. I've always been an artificial tree person. And so I finally agreed to get her a second tree. She's wanted one for a long time just for her own benefit. Mm-hmm. But now we have the real need for it, because it was really hard to find room. We were like doubling up ornaments. They were like literally on top of each other this year. It's like, yeah, it's time. It's time. We need to finally get another one. And it's, you know, we have a big household full of people, so it's necessary. But, you know, Christmas happened. All the wonders of Christmas happened. And, of course, you know, you take that time, you build up into the Christmas time, and life starts right back up again, because life almost goes on hold, especially in America. Life almost goes on hold around Christmas Day. It's like a rush, and then everything goes on hold. Places aren't open. Nobody understands why anybody would be anywhere but at their own homes or their family's homes or whatever.
Yeah.
But life jumps right back into the thick of things.
Dude, right the next day, just immediately.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to share a few little stories from that. We'll do that in the second half. Do you have any things from Christmas that you want to share before we, you know, in the first half of this discussion today? Do you have anything that happened that was fun from Christmas? I can start if you want, and when I start, after I'm done, you can hop into yours. So I give you some time to think, because I'm just throwing this at you without any foreknowledge.
I can share some of the things that we hadn't even had that done, I think, the last podcast that we did. I finally, that's actually a fun thing. So I got a couple of things to share. The first is I did get a couple of gifts this year that were really nice. You know, I do the gaming channel stuff. I got a new game controller for a retro gaming system, actually multiple retro gaming systems, which is really nice. I'm not.
What'd you get?
This is not an endorsement. I am not. Well, I will. I'm saying this because I like it. I'm not saying it because I'm getting it from a company or anything like that. I'm not endorsed by a company. There is a company called Retro Fighters that makes new game controllers for retro video game systems. I got a new game controller that is just absolute badassery for a Sega Saturn, which is a system I never had during my childhood, but one that I always wanted. So earlier this year, I picked one up. And it's a lot of fun. It's definitely like, this is a new experience entirely. There's like no nostalgia really to it for me. But the controller, the original controller, I tend to prefer over the revisioned controller. But the revision controller is, I never liked the pad on most Sega systems. They're always really mushy and loose. Genesis control pads, they never felt right to me. So this thing is badass, and it's actually a controller that works with, it's got a dual output on it, like a dual jack on it. So it's, the first one is for the Sega Saturn, but the other side is for the Sega Genesis, and will also work with the Master System and the Atari 2600, the Sega 32X, the Sega CD. So this thing will work like technically with two or three systems.
Nice. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But the other thing I think is personally far more interesting is more music related. So a few years ago, I picked up a cassette tape deck, like a regular dual cassette tape deck. And this was quite some time back. And I was just like, I had some old cassette tapes I wanted to check out. Yeah. I wanted to get into backing up cassette tapes on digital and just playing around with backing up analog on digital more recently. I did that with a Beatles record because it was a lot of fun for me with an actual Beatles record, like on vinyl, to hear the difference was just mind blowing. I loved it. But, the big thing for me was, I had this cassette deck and I had a nice little setup with it. Well, unfortunately that cassette deck, which I had rarely used up until this last couple of months, when I finally got it integrated in my system, it broke on me. Like after playing it like five or six times, one of the reels in it snapped and it started eating tapes.
Oh, that sucks.
So I was so, so devastated. But this was definitely like, it is a TIAC cassette tape deck from like 1986. It's so old. And yeah. part of me is still like, man, maybe if I crack it open and replace a capacitor and maybe a rotor, it'll still work. Like, I'm always one of those types of guys. But because I wanted to have a working cassette tape deck, because people use that for tonal stuff in studio work, and I'm doing studio work all the time.
Well, plus there are bands that are going to the older mediums when they're releasing stuff. People are releasing a lot of vinyl stuff.
Dude,
I know of a Sacramento area band that released their album on their one album that they did on cassette tape. That's kind of a retro thing.
Yeah. It was, I heard that what they were supposed to do was, they made an album and it had two sides to it. So they did album oriented rock, and they wanted a medium for a side A and a side B so that they could do that. But they didn't have the money for a record. So they did it on cassette, because it was about as cheap as CD.
Okay. That was the purpose. I just know that they did it. Decent band. Lead singer's kind of a, I don't know.
He's weird, man.
Yeah, he's weird. He's got problems.
He's
also,
a leprechaun.
He has no soul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leprechaun with no soul.
Yep.
Anyway.
We got sidelined for a minute. I bought a pro grade tape deck for my studio. Yeah, that's what I was getting down to. I bought a pro grade tape deck for my cassette tape deck. It was one of the ones that used to be used at live venues and stuff, but this thing's barely used.
Dude.
Yes.
I just want to let you know, I came into as a result of a family member moving out of crap with me.
Mm-hmm.
I have come into an amazingly huge cassette tape collection with some really, really awesome stuff on it. Like, I'm talking three or four old AC/DC albums.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're talking 80s hair metal like you wouldn't even believe. It's an amazing set. And if you have the ability to take some of the stuff from these and put them into digital format, you and me may need to do some talking. You know what I'm saying?
I am 150% there. Yeah, I was doing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I am 150% there. Absolutely.
I'm going to tell the boss this, and it's going to be amazing. Or maybe I don't tell the boss and make it like a surprise birthday present for her. I don't know. I'm terrible at keeping secrets like that.
We might have to have you come over and just have a listen to it through the speakers that I've got here.
We might have to do that. Talk about an evening for that. We'll ring the pizza, which I'll address later in this podcast.
Okay.
This is great. Because this has to do with Christmas, and you know, Christmas is an amazing thing. And not our Christmas, somebody else's Christmas. It's an amazing thing. So you got yourself a controller and a tape deck. Honestly. Exactly what I would expect for you to get for Christmas.
All right.
Now here's a question for you. If you were expecting that I would get something for Christmas, what would the thing be that you'd expect that I would get for Christmas?
Crocs.
I got those after Christmas, and I'll talk about those later. And I'll explain the story of those later. But that's a good guess. That is a good guess, sir. Nobody else buys my Crocs for me, though. That's my own thing.
Oh,
but
man.
What else then? What else?
I would assume probably something Star Wars related, or possibly a video game system. Like, that's what I'm. That's
You're half right.
Okay, so a Star Wars related video game system wouldn't have been it.
No, it would have been nice. I love that PS4. That's the Darth Vader PS4. Oh God, I would have loved to have one of those. I do. I have. Do Xbox 360. So you would think it would be appropriate for me to get the Darth Vader PS4, but as I'm reminded by my boss, do you really need a PS4? Is there any games on the PS4 that you can't get on the Xbox 360 or the Xbox One? Yes, there is, actually. Games that you play? No. So you just want it because it has Darth Vader on it, right? Yes. You cannot have everything that is Darth Vader, James. If you don't need it, you don't need it. Okay.
I was going to say, I started playing something that was just absolutely fascinating earlier in the year, and I never got far past like the tutorial, but it was something I played on stream with the Chronosode stuff. It's a game called Biomutant, but it's available on both PS4 and Xbox One, and it is absolutely fantastic. It is a post-apocalyptic third-person fantasy action game that is, you know, full three-dimensional movement, that kind of thing, right? It has the same, it's Unreal Engine style, so it's got the same overhead view as, like, you know, the newer Star Wars games or Red Dead Redemption and that kind of stuff, but it's fantasy-based. Yeah. However, you play an animal, like a cat, creature, like an anthropomorphic cat in a post-apocalyptic universe, and your purpose is to bring tribes together to reinstate the tree of life that is dying in your universe. But my favorite part about this entire thing is that you hear the animals talk to each other, but they're speaking in a native tongue. Well, what happens is every time they talk to you, you don't get captions on the bottom saying what they're saying. Instead, you have a National Geographic-style English voiceover, like a British voiceover dude who's telling you what's happening in the universe while you're experiencing it. So it's just like one extra added layer of awesomeness to it. But it's so lush and it's so open and it's gorgeous looking. Absolutely gorgeous. The only game that I can think of that's a PS4 exclusive that I think that you would be all over is the two Spider-Man games. The Spider-Man with Miles Morales and the other Spider-Man universe ones. Those are great for the Stan Lee cameo alone, if you ever see it. It was like the first posthumous Stan Lee cameo there is
actually, interestingly enough, a Darth Vader game that is a PS4 exclusive that I would also like. But again, as my wife tells me, I can't have everything that is Darth Vader. So, and that's fine.
You should look up the Horizon games. Horizon Forbidden West is coming out soon, but Horizon Zero Dawn is awesome as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, all those would be great, but as my wife reminds me, I talk about any kind of new game system. She's really, and what have you played in the last 3 months that's not Animal Crossing?
She's got you there.
Okay, fine. So,
here I am trying to find out how to pitch this thing.
And I did get some gaming stuff. Somebody did give me a gift certificate or a gift card for Nintendo for me to buy probably the Happy Home Academy download for Animal Crossing. That's probably what I'll eventually end up buying for. Because again, Animal Crossing is my thing now. Really my thing now. We'll get into that later. Mike already knows. And Star Wars though was the big thing. I got some Star Wars things from people. Got a blanket. Got Pez dispensers, which I collect Pez dispensers anyway. I eat Pez because it's one of my favorite candies ever. But I always love Star Wars Pez dispensers. They're always great things to have as part of my collection because I am definitely a collector of things. But Star Wars is part of the thing. And here's the story. Did I tell the story about the trip to Target yet? I don't remember. But even if I didn't,
no, you didn't. How? Okay.
So there's a lot. I'm going to go back a little bit to the Christmas traditions and the Christmas tradition of tradition. Say it right, James. Don't flub through the word. Tradition. The Christmas tradition of waking up early in the morning and having pumpkin bread for breakfast with my mother. That was a big tradition that my mother set up with me. The other tradition that my mother set up with me was the tradition of wrapping my own Christmas presents. Because I did.
Okay.
I did. I wrapped my own Christmas presents. She'd lie to me and tell me they were from my cousin. Them and then she'd put my name on them.
Oh my god! What?
And then once I became a teenager, I was basically you're coming in to help us wrap presents. And okay, if there's any little kids listening to this, stop listening now, parents. If your little kids are listening, have them stop listening now. On
you have fair warning: 3, 2, 1. Okay, go.
So when I had the younger siblings and my parents' presents that need to be wrapped, as in like the presents from the fat jolly man, we'll put it that way. So it's not too clear, even though we wanted the kids away, we don't want them to suss this out. So I would, you know, I was brought in to help, and I'd be helping wrap the presents for my sisters, helping wrap the other stuff, and then my mother would just shovel more presents toward me, like, oh, this is really cool. I'm glad you like it. Wrap it up, put your name on it. Ah, damn it. And that was, it was a regular tradition. So it became kind of a tradition of mine to wrap my own presents. And as an adult, I've done that. My wife has never wrapped a single one of my presents except for the present she, at least for Christmas. She's never wrapped any of my Christmas presents. She's never really surprised me with a present except for the Switch Lite that I got this last summer that I play the Animal Crossing on. That's the first time in all of our 20 years of marriage, 20 plus years of marriage, because it's over 20 years now, but it's 20 years. It's thing. Anyway, point being, in all this time we've been together, she's never really surprised me with a gift, because it's almost impossible to surprise me with a gift for somebody living in the same house. You need to not let me know you're getting me a gift, not say a thing until you present it to me, because otherwise I'm going to figure it out. And even if you don't think I'm going to figure it out, I'll know you and I'll know what you think that I like. And so what you might see to get me. It's very, very rare that I'm surprised by something. Like, you got me a gift a few years ago that was a surprise to me, because I had no idea you would be getting me anything. And it was not something, it made sense that it was a Star Wars thing.
Yes.
Because Star Wars is an easy thing to get, but it's not something I could have ever seen anywhere, because it was a handmade thing.
Yes.
So it was very surprising, and I absolutely love it because of the fact that it's handmade. So it's very unique.
Very much a surprise to me too. Personally, when I saw it, I was like, dude, James has to have this in his house. I saw it and I was like, yeah, that's happening.
Very much. So again, this doesn't happen. I always wrap my own gifts, especially for Christmas. I wrap my own gifts and I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not worried about being surprised. It's part of the tradition for me. I find it amusing. And then I'll put funny things on the tag. I'll put to James, and then I'll put from, like, you know, the, especially this year, I had 4 items that were a part of this bundle. So I had 1 item come from each one of the kids, and then I had, to dad, and then from each one of the kids. And then I had the last item to James, or no, to the short-haired food giver, to the short-haired food giver from the family zoo. That's who it was from, the family zoo, because there was 4 of the things, you know, and I get to have fun with the name tags and whatnot. It's good. It's in part of my enjoyment. So what happened was, a couple of weeks, actually a month before Christmas, where the wife and I were out shopping, and we were at Target looking at various Christmas things. And we came upon a display that was a Christmas display for basically kind of an advent calendar for socks. It was 15 days of socks.
Okay.
They were short socks and long socks in the packaging, 15 days of socks. Now, again, not everybody's going to know this. Obviously, you know this. I am a bit of a sock fiend. I have a thing for various designed socks, and I love wearing them because I wear shorts all the time. So if I'm wearing shorts all the time, you can see the socks. I love having designed socks, geeky stuff, whatever. So there are these different sock things, and I happen to see there's a Star Wars set. So, of course, I'm getting the Star Wars set, right?
Oh, but, definitely.
But there's also a Harry Potter set.
Ah, shit.
There's a Harry Potter set. And then there's a DC set. And I'm like, well, I do like DC to some extent. Not as much as Marvel, but I do like DC. Oh, my God, there's a Marvel set. And I'm looking at all 4 of these sets, and I'm like, oh, damn. And it's 15 socks in each set, $15 a set. I'm like, dollar a sock, that's not too bad for design socks. That's pretty good. I can be okay with that. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I don't know which one to get. And I look over at my wife, I'm like, look at these. She goes, I know, they're perfect for you. You and your sock fetish. I already have tons of Star Wars socks and tons of Marvel socks and tons of DC socks. I do not have Harry Potter socks. That one's kind of like, ooh, Harry Potter. I don't have those. I do have Harry Potter Crocs, so I'm like, ooh, this might work. But I'm at a loss. I'm like, I love all of these. I don't know. She goes, well, you're obviously going to get the Star Wars ones, right? And I'm like, of course, because it's Star Wars. I get everything Star Wars. I said, but the Harry Potter, I don't have Harry Potter socks. She's like, yeah, I know about that. And I'm like, I don't know what to do, boss. And she says, probably some of the best words I've ever heard come out of her mouth. Some of the best. Well, it seems obvious. You need to get all 4. So, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about what I actually ended up getting, whether I got all 4 or not.
Oh, okay.
The answer. All right. We already know the answer, but it's going to happen. All right. We'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we're back.
All right.
So, of course, I hear that wonderful phrase from up. We're jumping right in.
Yo, let's do it. Let's get on it.
She says, you're obviously going to get all four. And I'm like, no, I can't get all four. That's $60, and that's 60 pairs of socks. I'm going to buy 60 pairs of socks? She goes, well, if you only buy one, if you only buy the Star Wars one, or even if you only buy two, all I'm going to hear about for the next 6 months is you saying, oh, man, I wish I would have got the other one. Wouldn't it be cool if I got the other one? Just get them all.
And God.
Seriously? I can have 60 pairs of socks? She says, yeah, just get them.
I mean, to be real, that's not that bad of a price. Have you seen the price of everything else? $1 a pair of socks, and they're all basically custom socks that fit in with your entire lifestyle? Absolutely, exactly. That makes sense. Exactly. That makes perfect sense. You can't get that kind of a deal at a thrift store, man.
So I bought them.
Hell yeah, you know? All four of them.
And
so
I
you now
them.
Have...
and I opened them on Christmas morning. To the almost horror of the other family, except for my wife, who was laughing the entire. They're like four packages of socks. That's 60 pairs of socks, and they're made Advent style, where you pull one out a day. I just pulled them all out at once, and I'm pulling out sock after sock after sock, and I end up on top of my Croc display, which is right by my chair that I sit in the living room, because I need to be able to look at my Crocs all the time because they are works of art. As well as being comfortable on my feet. Shut up.
Oh, man. I would say you have a problem, but I'm the one that has a problem with the fact you have so many Crocs. So
you're not the only one.
I know.
Facebook has been attacking me because
you are the most.
Facebook.
What?
No. Facebook has been attacking me. Like I felt attacked at this moment because I'm scrolling through like the videos on Facebook, and there's a video recommended to me of this comedian, and this comedian's like calling people out in the crowd, and he's like, "So okay, is there any woman in here who's actually had sex with a guy that wears Crocs?" I mean, seriously, that's actually had sex with a guy that wears Crocs. Oh, okay, you lady, you. Oh, he's right there. Oh, he has Crocs on now. Oh my God! And I'm like, thank you. Facebook.
That's fantastic.
Facebook. At least I don't look like a robot, Zuckerberg. Anyway.
At least Zuckerberg knows about Crocs.
That they're comfortable? Yes. That I'm wearing some right
God.
Now?
Hell yes. Okay, I am. I have. Here's the. This is the most James image, the most James mental image. If you guys, okay, let's. I'm going to describe James's fashion sense to you. From, okay, I'm going to describe James's fashion sense to you right now. Okay, everything that we've talked about him wearing, I'm going to put the perfect James image in everyone's head. Okay, so should I go with? Well, let's see. Your hair right now is a little
top.
What? Start from the top. Okay.
Start from the top.
So, ideally, and this is the ideal James image. This is what he wants to present himself to the world as. Dependent on whether or not he actually has the opportunity to do so, you know, people have to do what they can sometimes. Yeah. You know, sometimes the beard has to be trimmed because he's looking for a job. But normally, that shit would be Duck Dynasty fucking long. It would be gorgeously huge.
Actually, yeah, the beard, the, normally it would be the beard is not in existence right now.
Just, right, I, right. I but this the, is ideal James image short, to himself. Yeah. I'm going to describe this. So his beard would go down to his
hold
his,
on, what? Higher. You have to start higher.
Okay, so your hair. Now, the first thing that I was thinking of was when I first met you, I believe you had spiked frosted tips.
I did, but we're not talking about that time of James. We're talking about current James.
Current James has the buzz sides haircut.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant. The haircut is irrelevant. I'm stopping you because you're already
making
a mistake.
Dude, I am the one making the description here. You let me speak.
Fine. Do your description and then
I said this is a full description, okay? And here's what it is. James's hair is long on the very top of his head. His sides of his hair are buzzed. Okay. On top of that head, he is wearing a ball cap that is either a 49ers ball cap or a Marvel ball cap or a Star Wars ball cap at any point in time. And if he had the ability to split the three together, right? If it was if it was Darth Vader with the Infinity Gauntlet wearing Joe Montana's jersey, it would be on his head.
Jerry Rice.
Oh, Jerry Rice? Okay. All right. Jerry Rice, I can understand that. But he retired a Raider.
No, he didn't. He retired as a 49er.
He retired as a 49er?
He retired as a 49er.
Oh, I'll be damned. I knew he'd joined the Raiders
He joined the Raiders. He joined the Seahawks, and then he joined the Broncos. Or he tried to join the Broncos. They wouldn't give him a spot.
So he just fucking hopscotched his way back to the Niners so he could retire as a Niner?
It's pretty standard for them to sign a to retire with the team that they want to retire with, but he's considered a 49er legend.
All right.
He did everything important with the 49ers. He's also,
I will consider that. I will consider that at this point a proper fact check.
Also, if such a hat existed, as long as it had the bent bill, because flat bills are stupid, and it was either a flex fit hat or a pro style hat. I don't do the adjustables because my head is too fucking big.
It's either flex fit or the pro, like the 5950s. No. Yeah,
no, not 59s, 3930s.
Oh, 3930s. Okay, you know that one.
3930s are the ones with the bent brim. The 5950s are the flat brim. Screw the flat brim. They're stupid.
I'm not a fan of flat brim hats. I've never been a fan of the flat brim caps. You know what it is? They just always put an indent in my forehead. I can't stand that. It just feels like a piece of cardboard jammed into your forehead constantly.
That's because what it is, and they look stupid.
Okay.
But anyway, right, if such a hat existed like that, I would totally wear that hat all the time. You are completely correct.
Yes.
Moving on.
All right. So so moving on from that, his hair is long on the top of his head, longish. It's, you know, it's the headbanger. It's what I used to call the headbanger cut back in the day, where it's not full long hair, but it's shaved hair on the sides and the top of the hair is long, and it's a hard part. It's a hard cut. So that's what he's got, but you'll never see it because of the hat. After that, he's got his skull tattoos on his neck. He's got his gauged earrings in. He's got his huge beard. Underneath the beard and the shirt that he is wearing will 100% be a Guy Fieri style flame a button down shirt that's almost like a bowling shirt. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a bowling shirt, like where it's like two tone, where it's just like the black stripes, like the fucking Charlie Harper thing. It's the Guy Fieri flame shirt. On top of that, slung over one shoulder will be his full-size leather satchel. And it would be a leather satchel because I know that I'm talking like full-fledged, not even like Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones doesn't have anything on this fucking thing. You could carry everything. His entire life could be in this satchel. And it will be. And on top of that, he will also be sporting a fanny pack. You are also huge on shorts. But comfortable shorts. Like, would I say basketball shorts? Is that correct? Is that wrong?
Surfer shorts would be more
surfer shorts.
Beach style shorts.
Okay. Beach style surfer shorts. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I needed a double check on that. I know that they're not like, you're not wearing like cargo shorts. All the cargo you need is in the satchel.
Yeah.
So yeah, cargo shorts are irrelevant at this point. On top of that, he will be wearing the socks that he has gotten for Christmas, but those socks will then be going into Gibbet's Crocs of varying colors, even like the two-tone ones. Don't you have like don't you have the Star Wars ones that are like white on one side, white on one foot and black on the other foot?
Well, I have two pairs of Star Wars ones, a white pair and a black pair. They're the same style. The black pair have varying gibbets on them for dark side people. The white pair have gibbets on them for light side people. And then if you take like the left black shoe and the right white shoe and wear them together, you have the original trilogy stuff. And then if you wear, or the old movies, I'd say not the original trilogy, but episodes 1 through 6, you have matching stuff for those. If you wear the right black shoe and the left white shoe, you have the same type of thing from the final trilogy of movies. Yeah.
The amount
actually make multiple shoes out of them.
The amount of thought that goes into that is far beyond what any human
okay.
that no, I mean, know no. of aside from you would consider.
Let me point out some of the flaws.
Okay.
First of all, my hair currently is not like that, but that's something that happens. My hair is actually shaved right now because I got tired of dealing with the long hair, having to do work and whatnot. My hair is like, I think I have maybe a quarter inch of hair right now.
Okay.
And of course the beard is shaved off for work, which sucks. You left out the labret piercing, which is a big point.
Damn it. You're right. Yeah, but there's so much beard, like it kind of gets lost in beard though. No, I forgot kinda, that no, it was
it's,
there.
It's a little sparkly star in the middle of the beard. I cannot because of my girth. I can no longer wear the Guy Fieri. I would love to. Now it's more t-shirts that are related to geek fandom in some way, shape, or form. It is a Star Wars shirt, a Marvel shirt, a DC shirt. I only have one Harry Potter shirt. I have a couple of Goonies shirts.
Question though. If you had a button down shirt of that size, Guy Fieri style, would you wear it?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to address the current James outfit. It's the ideal one.
The shorts are accurate.
You corrected me on that. I will give you full credit.
The leather satchel and the fanny pack. A leather satchel would be nice, but it is not mammoth and gigantic. It just holds enough stuff that it needs to, as in, enough minty things, my vape and that's about it. Minty things and vape. That's all it really needs to hold. Cause those things are important.
Yes.
And my wallet and keys, because I can't put my the beach shorts because they're drawstring shorts. So like if you put too much weight in them, they start falling because the fabric's not, you know, it's not heavy fabric and whatnot. So it'll. I have zero ass to hold up any kind of shorts. So that's what the satchel's for. But yes, as far as the socks and the Crocs, that is completely correct because that's what I do.
Crocs and socks sounds like a Dr. Seuss book.
It should be. and so as I was emptying these boxes of Christmas socks and pulling all these things, I end up with like a 1 foot pile of of just socks sitting there. And the grandmother in the house is just like, oh my gosh, how many socks did you end up with? 60 pairs. 60 pairs of socks? Yep. Technically speaking, with the socks I currently have and adding these socks to it, I can probably wear a brand new pair of socks every single day for, I'm going to say, 4 months and not have to wash socks.
Good God. Oh, but could you imagine the amount of socks that you would have to wash all at once if you did that?
Yeah, it would be for 4 months, 120 pairs maybe. That's how many. I can't imagine. It's simple math. But yes, that would be God. Just like it'd be like the wife would look at the laundry, and I only say that because she's in charge of the laundry because she doesn't trust me to do the laundry because here's the thing. I do smaller loads than she does. People would think, oh no, you probably stuff the washing machine. No, I do smaller loads because I'd rather do multiple small loads than try to force everything in there. And so it takes me longer to do it because I'm doing more loads. And so I use more soap, and she gets mad at me for that. So, mainly for not the more soap as much as for how long it takes, because I'll take all day to do loads of laundry and she'll take like half the day. And so she's like, why does it take you so long? Because I do smaller loads of laundry. That's why. Why do you do smaller loads? Because I like them smaller. That's way too small, because it is a little small. My loads of laundry are small. But I don't care. I like doing smaller loads of laundry. But anyway, she'd be presented with like a whole laundry basket, you know, full of, not even a whole laundry basket, but a whole laundry hamper full of socks. I'm just like, seriously, where have you been keeping all of these for the last 4 months? Why?
Are you going to need your own separate container for all of these socks?
I have two sock drawers already.
Are you sure you don't need a sock dresser?
Well, it's technically like I could see you having a
full like LED lit walk-in closet with like moving like all of your socks hanging.
Oh no, dude.
Right.
No,
and
no,
it would no, just no. come in as machined the, like just auto.
Oh yeah. As part of the whole like winning the lottery and having building my perfect house, I would have a walk-in closet that would have all of my shoes displayed, all of my, because I have other shoes other than the Crocs. I just, Crocs are the current obsession with shoes. Mm-hmm. But I'd have all the shoes displayed, all my shirts already hang up, but I'd have all my shirts hung up, the socks all displayed. Yeah, I would have, it would be bad. My walk-in closet would be the size of most people's master bedrooms, just for me to be able to see all my clothes. But no, I have a drawer for short socks, you know, just ankle socks, and then a drawer for longer socks.
Nice.
So yeah, I've had those two drawers for like years, because I've always separated my socks like that. Socks have always been a thing, though. I wouldn't say always since I was a teenager. I got like my first sets of Argyle socks, and that was it. I my love affair with socks started, and again, because I wear shorts so much, it makes sense. I would understand for people who wear pants all the time. Socks aren't that big a deal, because nobody ever sees your socks, you know what I mean? Unless you know how to do a pair of suit pants properly, where when you sit down they ride up just enough that people would see your socks. Mm-hmm. then you want to do something nice with your socks, because you don't want just crappy you can have just straight black socks. If you're wearing suit pants like that, or dress pants like that, nice pants like that, you should probably be wearing some nice shoes. You're not wearing your you know, your Skechers or your Nikes or whatever. You're wearing some actual nice shoes for that job, or for that lifestyle, whatever it is. So you probably at least are having some black, almost silky like looking socks. But like, I would be the guy that would have different Argyle socks, different bright colored socks, because, you know, it's fun. It's a fun way to represent yourself. Well, with the shorts, yeah. I can do socks that just have all kinds of weird crap on them, because, you know, I'm the guy who loves getting socks, as long as, even if they're just like normal white, you know, athletic socks, fine. I can wear those when I'm pretending to work out, when I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go work out, and I put them on and put the shoes on, and then just sit in my chair for like the 40 minutes that I was going to go work out and be like, oh man, I'm out of time now, which is what really happens. But like, you get me any kind of decorative socks, I love them. They're great. They're a fantastic thing. And the thing is, I it's not like I'm old now and like, ooh, socks are a great gift. I have always thought of socks as a great gift, because they're useful for one, but also if you get the ones that have the different designs on them, different colors, different whatever, it's one of those ways to express yourself, and
yeah,
a fun way to express yourself. And I love that. Plus, if somebody gets them for you, in this case, I basically kind of got them for myself and then just put other people's names on them. If somebody gets them for you, then that's showing what they think of you, what they think you're into. They're trying to find something that you're going to love. And it's like, I've seen a bunch of different Ninja Turtle socks that I've thought, maybe I should get some of these Ninja Turtle socks for my friend Mike. Like, nah, I don't know that he wears, you know, the freaky socks. That's a me thing. I don't know how he is with freaky socks. You know, he's going to be like, oh, great, there's Ninja Turtle socks. I guess I can wear these on the weekend. Like, no, bitch, you need to wear those out in public with some shorts. James, you're crazy. I'm not going to dress like you. Why? I dress cool. No, you don't. Okay, you're right. But still, and by the way, I do want to add that you are not the only person around that has a freak out about me and my love of Crocs. And no, it's not my wife. I've actually convinced her. She is on the Croc train completely. She loves her.
Sorry.
Yes, on the Croc train. She loves her butterfly Crocs. She really loves her AC/DC Crocs. So I mean,
I will give her credit on those AC/DC Crocs. Those things are fucking cool.
Those things are cool.
Full credit on the AC/DC Crocs. I like that. I concur with those. That one gets my approval for sure.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, you tried to guess that I was getting Crocs for Christmas. I didn't. I waited till after Christmas. And the ones I sent you a picture of one of my new pairs of Crocs.
I totally thought you got those for Christmas.
First of all, full disclosure, those are not actual real Crocs. Those are Walmart brand Crocs.
Oh, okay.
So they're not real Crocs. I bought those because I previously to that had bought two new pairs of real Crocs. I ordered them online. And here's what happened. There was a set that I had been looking at before Christmas. It was actually a Christmas Croc set. They were Christmas. They're designed to look like an ugly Christmas sweater. So okay. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. They're white. It's white, green, and red on the Croc itself. And they have gibbets on them already that are supposed to be a Christmas sweater. I'm like, this is really cool. Then my wife found Grinch gibbets on online, different site. found Grinch gibbets. I'm like, oh my God, Grinch stuff, because I love the Grinch, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, how can I work this out? Well, I figured, okay, I can put the Grinch stuff on with the ugly Christmas sweater stuff, and it'll look cool. They'll be really jam-packed Crocs, but that's okay. That's okay. They're going to be my Christmas Crocs. Mm-hmm. I can wear them at Christmas time. I'll be happy with that. So I was waiting to see if maybe they'd go on sale after Christmas. They didn't, but I had to snag them before they disappeared because they were, you know, seasonal item.
I was going to say, I could see that, and I could see them not going on sale because the Grinch is such a popular character just in general.
Well, no, the Grinch gibbets were separate from the actual Christmas Crocs. Grinch gibbets separate, Christmas Crocs separate. Okay. Christmas Crocs were from Croc, the Croc website, right?
Yes.
The Grinch gibbets were from a different website.
Yes.
So, but the Crocs themselves were what I was waiting to go on sale, and they didn't, and they were starting to sell out of sizes. So I was like, no, I better snag those up before they sell out. And I did. But while I was there and while I was checking all those things out, the wife, the boss, she found another set of gibbets.
Hmm.
And now as she's finding those gibbets, I'm on the other website, making sure the Grinch ones are still available. I find Animal Crossing gibbets, which I'm like, oh my God, I have to have them because I'm obsessed with Animal Crossing right now. So I buy the Animal Crossing gibbets with the Grinch one. At the same time, my wife is on the Croc site figuring out getting the thing settled for the shoes that I want. And she finds another set of gibbets, which throws a whole new thing into it. She finds Dungeons and Dragons gibbets.
Oh, crap.
And she shows them to me. And I have to have them. So I get those and order another pair of Crocs for them to be my Dungeons and Dragons Crocs. Still coming in the mail now. I'm waiting for my Christmas Crocs and my Dungeons and Dragons ones. My Animal Crossing gibbets came in, and I went and bought because I'd already bought the other two pairs. I went and bought the cheap Walmart Crocs, bright yellow for my Animal Crossing, because why not? Let's go colorful. Let's be a ray of sunshine with my Animal Crossing. And so, Animal Crossing Crocs, D&D Crocs, and soon to be ugly Christmas sweater Grinch Crocs. Yes. The obsession is not ending. The obsession is still going. And again, my wife has no problem helping me with it because she doesn't see it as any kind of emasculating thing. She sees the joy that I get out of it. Thing is, for me, I get to have custom shoes without having to pay somebody huge amounts of money to like draw on my shoes and paint on my shoes and shit. I get custom shoes. I can do shoes for whatever I want them to be. And they can be, they can just be, you know, explorations of stuff. I don't have to try to stick buttons or pins on them or anything. They have that. That's part of the deal with these shoes. And so people don't like it. People give me crap about it, like you and Facebook and one of my sisters, who, by the way, I told her about it, and she's just like, seriously, they're the stupidest things in the world. Somebody gave me a pair and I gave it to my kid because there's no way in hell I'm wearing those stupid things. How do you wear those things? I'm like, me? She's like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So you know what? I will say, you know, if I can follow up on that, because that I want to make sure that full disclosure here with the description that I gave of James and his ideal wardrobe and everything like that.
Pretty good. It was pretty good.
Thank you. I want to I want to make sure that people know here, I am not making fun of James's wardrobe. I am merely describing it. I will tell you this, like, the lack of fucks given for his personal wardrobe, I know that sounds negative. It's not supposed to be. He doesn't give a shit, like,
no,
about anyone's opinion of what he wears. He is fully expressive in himself to where he has created an art form out of it. I have absolute full respect for that. Your lack of fucks for anybody's opinion for what you wear at any point in time that you wear. I'm sorry, like, that is attention-grabbing wear that will probably pull ridicule from somebody who's way too insecure about themselves and the way that they dress, and I respect that fully and completely. I have nothing but love and respect for that, just that attitude personally. You know what I mean? I just wanted to clarify that. I want to make sure that that's there.
I mean, I understand you want to clarify that because you don't want people to be like, damn, Mike is just totally ripping on James.
Yeah, there's, there was zero animosity.
I didn't see it in that way. I didn't see it in that way at any point. This description isn't for me. This explanation, I should say, isn't for me. The description is definitely for me. The explanation isn't for me because I totally understand where Mike is where Mike was in his description of me. And I can say this. It's I try to make sure that the people that I consider friends, the people that I hang out with, if somebody's going to be embarrassed by the way that I look, I'm not hanging out with you because I'm not going to be embarrassed by the way that you look because it's your own thing. I will defend your style up to the, you know, as far as I can defend it, whether it's, you know, even if it's you wearing always wearing jeans and having a for some reason having to have a folded up bandana hanging out of your back pocket and wearing music t-shirts all the time and alternating between crappy music baseball caps and skull caps to you know, and then not knowing for sure exactly what shape the weird red beard that you have is going to be in, you know, and the tattoo from the, you know, having a tattoo from a really, really crappy overrated band that stole all their music from African-American artists. You know, I'm not going to judge you on that. If that's your style, if that's how you personally want to dress all the time, that's all right, man. You're still my friend. Was that a good description?
That works. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty much it. My,
I was a little harsher on a couple of things, but, the main
thing about my wardrobe was pretty much what I call stagehand chic. Like, it's just, I'm dressed like, I dress like a stagehand at all times. It is
seriously. Yeah.
Black sweatshirts, black pants, black shoes, black ball cap or black skull cap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that is it. Like, I don't know, man. I dig on it. It's easy to blend in anywhere I want. And if I can find a black face mask, like a black face mask when I'm out and about, I'm dressed like a casual ninja all the time.
So that's what's funny about that is like probably if we were seen together at like backstage of a show dressed in our normal stuff, they'd be like, okay, you're the stagehand. And looking at me, are you the guy that gets the band the drugs? Or are you the guy that does it, that tests the band's drugs first to make sure that they're okay?
I will say this, like, you do look you kind of have this Hunter S. Thompson on church day kind of a thing going on.
It's been assumed that I've had drugs on me multiple times. I constantly have people, not constantly, but I have multiple times had people come up to me and ask me if I was selling drugs because apparently I look eccentric enough to kind of have some of that. I have people assume always that I'm some kind of an artist because of my eccentricness. I'm like, no. I mean, I do a little bit of music. I do some acting. Oh, okay, it's the theater thing. A little bit, yeah.
No, you're the guy who's peddling wares in the RPG. Like, that's who you are.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. If you were to see me in real life, like if there, for some reason there was a Satchel spotlight Crocs. On me in real life. Yeah, if there was a spotlight on me in real life, mm-hmm. standing somewhere, you'd be like, this is an RPG moment. That dude has shit I need to buy.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Oh my God, that's what you dress like.
That is an accurate.
You dress like an RPG salesman in modern day.
that is an accurate description of things, and it is a level of just the things all match. It's not like I'm doing things that don't match. They all work together and make sense.
Yeah. But, no, you dress every article of clothing you have at that time will dress in tandem. It will work that way. The funny part is you coordinate all that shit.
But it is an eclectic. Like what the hell? Okay. And it definitely does follow with my personality of the eclecticness. I do have that kind of a personality.
Yeah.
You never know what things I'm going to be into. You know, people will try to shock me with the, you know, yeah, this movie, you know, you probably don't know anything about those kind of things. Yeah, I do. Or this music. Yeah, I know about this music. It's got to be good stuff still, but I'm very eclectic with so many different things. And definitely the way I look supports that. Mike is right. He looks like the stagehand guy. But that's, again, the thing about it is our own look. and it doesn't matter what anybody else says about the look, we're still going to do it. So in the same sense that I have my look and don't care about it, you also have your same look. I don't know if anybody said anything to you about it other than me just now,
yeah,
but you're still going to look the same way no matter what. You've kind of, the thing is, you've even going back to back in the day, you kind of already had that proto dress 20 years ago. You had that kind of proto dress set up anyway. You were always jeans and a t-shirt and maybe a ball cap or a skull cap.
Yep.
The basis of it was always the same.
Yeah.
The basis of mine, yes, I did more of the button-up shirts back then because I wasn't so fat and I could actually wear them. I didn't have to worry about the buttons popping off when I sat down. But the prototypical part of that dress was still flashy and big and kind of blazing my own trail. Even when I had the spiky frosted tips. Yes, it was a thing then, but I'd like to think that I rocked that in a special way. I probably didn't, but I'd like to think. Anyway, there was a few other things I wanted to talk about on this specific podcast, but I'm actually going to hold it off for the next one because there is a running theme that's going to happen. That as I was going through this one, I realized we could have this as talking about reminiscence of our Christmas, and the second one is going to deal with somebody else's Christmas, which I mentioned in here, and somebody else's Christmas, pizza. And peddling the podcast. This all actually wraps in together.
Okay.
And so I figure it's good fodder for our next episode. So,
I like that.
Mike.
Yes.
Where are people listening to us reminisce about our Christmas, hear about your tape deck, your video game controller, my bounty of socks, and my post-Christmas Crocs?
Well, you could be listening to us on the website that we have. That is thezennialchronicles.com or zenchron.com if you don't want to type that much. Speaking of Zennial Chronicles and Zenchron, Google us, and you can find us on multiple websites, including Google Podcast or wherever you're listening to podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube as well. That is another one. And speaking of which, if you happen to be listening to us on YouTube, even if you're not, if you're listening to us on YouTube, if you're not listening to us on YouTube, go find us on YouTube. Search for the Zennial Chronicles on YouTube. We're trying to bring up our YouTube subs. Man, we need more YouTube subs. So please, go ahead and next to the video for this podcast, if you're listening to it, or if you're searching for us, hit the subscribe button, please. Make sure that you hit the subscribe button so that you're subscribed to our channel. We want our custom URL, man. We want it. And so that would greatly, greatly help us out. But there's also another thing that needs to be done while you are there next to the subscribe button. It's right next to it. And James, I think you know what that is.
I do know what that is.
What is that?
Oh, you want me to say it? Oh,
yes.
Sorry. Click the bell.
Yes. Yes. Please click the bell so that you get notified the next video or podcast that we put out. And we'll kind of let you know, if we don't have a podcast that week. Normally, depending on whether or not things are just ridiculously hectic, because it was kind of like that for the last month or so, and we took took a winter break or a holiday season break, didn't we?
We took a little bit of one, and that is something to be on the horizon for discussion later, that we may just decide to take winter breaks in the future, because we haven't really taken any lengthy breaks through the almost 3 years now that we've been doing this. So we may take winter breaks and be able to just relax a little bit, ruminate, and have fun stories.
Yeah.
So while you're there, while you're checking out our stuff, while you're bringing up the subscriptions, which, by the way, I'm doing a little plant here, and I'm going to surprise Mike with this little plant.
Oh, okay.
We're recording another podcast right after this one. Going to release them, two separate weeks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the next podcast, I'm not going to make Mike wait for a whole week. You have to wait for a whole week listening. Okay. In the next podcast, I'm going to tell you what is going to happen, what I'm going to do, and what I'm going to try to, I'm going to see if Mike wants to do if we get our 100 subs.
Oh, okay.
So you want to get people, get your friends, get your family, get your whatever to subscribe so we can get our 100, we can get our custom URL. When you're doing that, please go and check out Mike's other two pages. He has his video game page, Chronosode Games, which he does with his wife, where they play video games, record the playing of them, watch Mike do terrible at them. The concept here is playing video games in the chronological order of the story, not in the order of release.
Yes.
Of the game. So that you get the full understanding of the story with it, and you get the full understanding of how much Mike really sucks at playing video games. And then, well, after you're done checking that out, also check out Mike's other YouTube page, Ruling Note Music.
Yes.
This is where Mike talks about all kinds of music-related stuff, gear, stories about bands. And just so you know, his stories about bands pay off.
Oh.
And the way that they pay off is if you do a really good story about a kind of pseudo parody, is it really parody or is it more of a tribute style band?
I would say it's a dual tribute. It's called a mashup is what the name of the terminology is.
A mashup tribute band. If you do kind of a profile on them like Mike did, sometimes they will, and they like, sometimes they'll reward you with being sent, with sending you a new album with notes directed to you inside the album, because they appreciate the fact that you highlighted them and did a profile of them. Because that happened to Mike with one of his albums. You want to know which one, or one of the albums that he did for this band, one of the bands he did?
Yes.
If you want to know what the band is, don't tell him, Mike. You want to know, go check out Ruling Note Music, watch his stuff, and I'm sure he'll put an update on there about what they did for him at some point or another.
Yes, I actually shall. That'll probably be the next video I put out, to be real. So,
if you want to find out what that is, check it out. Anyway, yeah. Thank you for listening today. You'll hear us again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.